Well, again, good morning, and it's good to spend some time with you on this holiday weekend. And for those who are going to be returning to school or to home, we pray that you'll have safe traveling mercies on the highways or in the skies, whichever way you go. It is good to spend time together, isn't it? It's good to get a break. Time is a valuable gift, isn't it? I heard a joke about time the other day. A woman met three beggars. She gave one beggar a dime. She gave a second beggar a dime. And a third beggar a nickel. What time is it? 3:15. It just sort of, sometimes it just sort of flows from there to there. Little time lag, but it's good. It's good. Today is a unique day and time. You know, we keep the Bountiful Harvest table here, thanks to Nancy and the Mary Lotze class for our beautiful harvest table and having that here. That's part of our national holiday. In the Christian calendar, as we've said already, and it's on the front of your bulletin, today is the last Sunday of the Christian year. It's called Christ the King, and all Christians of every stripe and tribe and culture, whether Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox, are welcome to use Christ the King as the theme for this day. And I see from your past bulletins that this is something that you have done as well. And our songs carry this theme too this morning. Did you hear it in our first song? Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. Time. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, morning by morning, new mercies I see. God is the giver of time. Time is a gift from God. And the Christian notion of time as a gift from God is, I think, one of the many things that make us countercultural. In fact, you'll notice that a number of the things that we do as Christians and as part of His church are countercultural as individuals, as society, and yes, even as the church abandons its Christian foundations and its heritage and embrace a well-intended but ultimately barren humanism and an impotent and unfulfilling secularism. So next Sunday, we begin the season of Advent and a new Christian year. We give attention to a new form of time, a time of preparation, a time for anticipating, celebrating the birth of our Savior, His nativity. So begin this week inviting your friends, invite your family, your neighbors, Bethany Church family as well, to come and to spend this time of holy, wonderful, exciting time together. So we've been talking in November about the saint. And what does it mean to be the saint? What does it mean way back then? And what does it mean today? And we've taken our definition from Scripture, which means essentially a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Saints may be extraordinary or ordinary. They may be famous or unknown. We've talked about how they embody qualities such as humility and courage. We've talked about how they usually develop a strong ascetic nature in their faith. Remember, we talked about asceticism is that aspect of our life with Christ that with God's help, those things that we practice self-discipline about, self-denial, self-restraint from the usual worldly pleasures, as a measure of personal or moral discipline. And that may be very mild. It may be moderate. It may be extreme. We've also talked about how saints have a laser-sharp focus on doing God's will, not giving in easily to pressures. We've talked about how there's a constancy in their lives, a dailiness, if you will, that they're not immune to ups and downs. Many saints battled frustration, disease, doubt, depression, starvation, persecution. But to a saint, it's not about being religious. It's not about being extreme. It's not about how extreme they can be. It's not done out of guilt. It's not done out of a hope to do enough to earn salvation in heaven. In fact, saints cringe at the very mention of the word religious. And they wouldn't give themselves that label at all, because they view all of life and all of time as a big thank you to Jesus. So last week we ended the message by saying and reminding ourselves that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is voluntary. Jesus said, if any person would come after me, if any person would keep coming after me, let him or her deny themselves and keep denying themselves. Let them pick up their cross and keep picking up their cross and follow me and keep and continue to follow me. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. Here's four things this morning that I think Jesus really wants you to see on your journey of faith. Here's the first one. He really is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. Verse 27. Jesus Christ is King. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all creation. And he is the only just judge. And he has come. Advent is a time of waiting and expectation, as we've said, but it's just as well also of his loving return. When he comes again. A lot has been written about the first advent of Jesus. A lot has been written about the second advent and the second coming of Jesus too. So we ask ourselves, why would he return? Why return? What's he coming to see and do? Well, I think in the context of this passage today, he's coming to see whether or not the qualities of denying ourselves, of picking up our cross, of following him are present in our lives. To see if we're living a lifestyle of courageously following him daily. How you and I practice our faith. How we show our love for him. How are we using our time? Our time. We are the seeds of his kingdom scattered in the garden of a world that is groaning and waiting to be born anew. Number two. That he really is going to reward each person according to what he or she has done. Christianity is not a philosophy, not something to talk and debate about, not a self-help group. It's a lifestyle. It's a mindset that often is different from society. It doesn't happen by osmosis or thinking happy thoughts or sending out positive vibes in the universe. As Christians and as United Methodists, we don't go to church so that we can go to heaven. We ask and seek God for grace so that Jesus' vision of his church can be in us, so that he can live in us. We participate in worship and the Christian life not as a custom, not as a habit, but as a means of grace to help us grow in love and grow in faith. In this time that the Lord has given us, and we help one another. And I want to remind you this morning, there is a glory that awaits you and me. Christ himself will compensate and exalt all believers, all true disciples, and judge unbelievers when he returns in his glory. His glory. And I don't know what he's going to say when he comes. It may be something like, did this one truly commit themselves to me? Or did one only serve oneself? He really is going to reward each person according to what he or she has done. Number three, he really wants you to see the coming kingdom. Verse 28 here, he says, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He really wants you to see the coming kingdom. When Jesus talks about his kingdom, he is never talking about a physical place. He's never talking about a physical place. He's talking about the rule of his love in a person's life. He's talking about the transforming power of the cross in a person's life. The saving power. He means people going back to their roots, their Christian roots, their roots of love, as in the story of the prodigal, returning home. That's when we see Jesus' kingdom. He really wants you to see the coming kingdom. And number four, he really wants you to see that you have to make a clear choice. Jesus makes the options very clear here. Try to save your life now and lose it forever. Or surrender your life now and find it forever. This life and the next. And you can choose. You can do everything you want to have a safe, comfortable life. And you may be comfortable, but you won't be living. You'll simply exist. Jesus offers to make it a life of adventure. And there can only be one master, right? There can only be one master. It's you or him. Who is it? Choose today who you will serve. I wonder what the Lord wants to see in Bethany in 2019. I wonder what the Lord wants me to see in myself in 2019. I wonder what he wants to see and do in you, in your life, in the next year. Because he left his home in glory. His glory, he left that to come and to live among us. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Let's remember that when we accumulate the goods and the presents and enjoy all the pleasures and wonderful things of this season. He healed the sick. He forgave the sinner. He released the captive. He fed the hungry. He welcomed and he kept company with people from all walks of life. He taught truths like no one has ever done before or since. And he did not alter the Father's design to be in step with the times or according to the Roman government or the existing religion or the legal rulings or the currents of society. And when those in charge said, hey, you're not going to change the way we do things, they condemned him to die on a cross as a countercultural rebel, a blasphemer, a radical. And he suffered for everyone. Whoever lived before him, for those who were there with him, for those who came after him, for you and for me. And they buried him. And they rolled the stone shut. And after 3 days, he rose again. The salvation in Christ is open to all who come. The doors of heaven are wide open. It applies to all who will receive. And Jesus is not exaggerating for effect. He invites you. He loves you. He wants all of you. All. Because he gave his all. So to summarize, he really is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. He really is going to reward each person according to what he or she has done. And he really wants you to see the coming kingdom. And he really wants you to see that you have to make a clear choice. Jesus Christ is King. He is Lord and King of all creation. Lord of all. Can you see it? Can you see it with the eyes of faith? in just a few Sundays. We'll be singing about it. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and ye are blessed forevermore. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting all. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Let's think about these things. Jesus, help us to see what you really want us to see in this life. Peel back the layers. Let your light shine through. Keep us from despondency, from frustration, from hesitation, and give ourselves unreservedly to you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.